encouragement too. You can raise your hands for that. We have our cards here, our rack cards. Please pick one up in the lobby or online, shalombrevard.com, and you could follow along in the readings, even read ahead with us. Let's get into Philippians today. You know, this is a common thing that I'm thinking about and talking about because in our culture today, and I mentioned this, I don't know how many times this week when I'm talking with people and I'm going through just what's going on in the world, what's going on with the congregation, what's going on with other congregations. And in our culture today, which we can't get away from, right? We live in this culture for better or worse. We're part of, you know, American Western 2024 culture. In our culture today, it's all about the individual, isn't it? Everything's very individualistic. Everything is tailored to, if you look at even commercials on TV or what's going on with social media, everything's tailored to the individual. It's all about me, you. You know, it's all about us individually is what I mean. How do I get ahead in the world? We're always trying to figure out how to get ahead, or at least the world is. How do I run the rat race is what people used to term it, right? Remember that term? But sometimes it's even, how do I survive? How do I get through this crazy world that keeps getting crazier and crazier, right? So there's always this focus on ourselves, and there's a tendency to have the world revolve around us, right? You know, whatever's going on, we're at the center of the world in our minds. And, you know, part of that is just natural. But as followers of Yeshua, we have to think unnaturally from the culture. We have to think about him and not us. We got to put him as the center of our world, which is God, of course, and not ourselves as the center of our world. We need to seek his will above ours. And this goes squarely against the teachings of the world or the implicit culture in this world. But it's right where we need to be as believers. So we have this friction. We have this struggle that no matter what, we're going to have while we're here in the world, while we're in this life. And today's passage in Philippians, we see Rav Shaul, we see the Apostle Paul making Yeshua the Messiah the center of his life. He did not think the world revolved around him. He knew it didn't revolve around him. He knew it revolved around God and God alone, and specifically Messiah Yeshua. He wanted Yeshua honored in everything that he did. What he said, what he accomplished, he always put Yeshua first, even above his own life. And he was 2,000 years ago to many people, and he is today, talking about Rav Shaul, he's an example for us about how we should be prioritizing God over ourselves, over other things. He's an example of somebody that's sold out for God. So we're going to learn from Shaul today as he takes us through this passage of Philippians. The passage is Philippians 1, 19 through 26. We're going to see how we can apply this to our lives even in 2024, how we can get off the train of individual, me-centered, and get on the bus of God first. God is what we need to focus on in our lives. So let's turn to Philippians 1:19 together. 1:19 and 20. For I know that through your prayers, this is Shaul talking here to the Philippian congregation. Now remember, he's in prison, or he's under house arrest in Rome, most likely, far away from Philippi. Remember where Philippi is? Philippi is on the edge of Europe. It's in what we would consider today Macedonia by Greece, far away from Rome. But he's writing to them, and he says, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Yeshua the Messiah, this will turn out for my deliverance. What is? All the struggles that he's going through, people talking about him. Verse 20, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now as always, Messiah will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. This is what he's saying. Now, I mentioned in last week's message of Philippians, the series, that the book of Philippians doesn't give us any direct quotes of Scripture. Have you ever thought about that? A lot of books of the Bible, and you can go in your Bibles, whether it's a study Bible or a regular Bible, I think you all have this, you'll have footnotes whenever there is a reference to another Scripture. Somebody's quoting another scripture from the Tanakh or the Torah. Somebody's relaying another scripture, even in the New Covenant, in one of the epistles. When we went through the book of Hebrews last, there was tons and tons and tons of references, direct quotes from other parts of scripture. If you remember, we've gone through several books now in the last couple of years. Remember when we went through the book of Matthew? The book of Matthew is like 69 or 70% of the entire book direct quotes from the Old Testament, from the Tanakh. Well, in Philippians, we don't have that. There are no direct quotes of other scriptures. But there is an allusion to one reference in these verses here. Shaul's talking about people, or those people, in last week's portion that we read, last week's text, and this week's text. He's talking about people that are trying to harm him in getting out the message of Yeshua. Or they're doing it with the wrong emphasis. And by doing it, he's directly talking, and of course he doesn't mince words, he talks very directly. People are trying to thwart my ministry in order to preach the gospel and preaching it in a different way. We read that last week. And he's talking about these people trying to harm him in his messaging of the good news. As he's under house arrest, as he's facing persecution and a difficult road that he's walking, so to speak, the reference that he's talking about, that scholars believe that he is referring to in these verses, is Job, the book of Job, chapter 13, verse 16. Now, you can turn there. We're going to read from it in a second. This is an allusion, scholars think. When Shaul is talking in these verses here, he's alluding back to Job chapter 13. Why Job? Well, the story of Job, we know Job was a righteous man. Okay, he wasn't perfect, but he was a righteous man in all of his ways, tried to be, and he lost everything. Remember the story of Job. He lost everything. And there's, of course, that famous scene in Job chapter 1 where the enemy, the adversary, the devil comes to God and he says, you know, Job only worships you. He only loves you. He only puts you first, honors you, because you've given him all this wonderful stuff. He's a rich guy. He's got everything. What if you take it away? I bet he curses you. And God says, we'll see about that. And he does it. And of course, Job, he struggles. He loses everything. I mean, he's in sackcloth and ashes. He is just bereft, right? He is beside himself. He loses everything except his faith in God. Everything but his faith. Even his friends come, and I put the friends in quotes, right? You know Job's friends. And they try to talk him into things or tell him that this is what I think it is. And this is man talking, and of course not God. Even his wife tells him to curse God and just die. But we know that in the end of the story of Job, there's redemption. There's deliverance, so to speak. And Job gets back what was taken from him and then some. So the story of Job is a story of loss, the story of struggle, but also of ultimate deliverance. And Shaul is sort of applying that to his life. He's saying, I'm going through struggles. I'm going through problems. You are too, Philippians. All of us are. But God is still on the throne. God is still there. Now, if we look at the Job chapter, go to Job chapter 13, verse 16. Job is lamenting through the book, right? And this is one of his laments. But in my Bible that I use, there's a subtitle for this particular section of Job, chapter 13. And the subtitle is, Still I Will Hope in God. Job had worse things happen to him than you and I could ever have, than Shaul ever had. Even though he was shipwrecked, bitten by a snake, almost died, all that bad stuff, it still didn't measure up to Job. But Job still says, I will hope in God. Job 13, 16 says this, This will be my salvation. He's still acknowledging God, but he's also saying, This will be my salvation, comma, that the godless shall not come before him. So there's an acknowledgement that those people that are talking against the Lord, that are not doing the things of the Lord, that have a wrong spirit, wrong motives, wrong heart, we talked about that last week, that they shall not come before him. When bad things happen to us, when things don't go as we thought that they should go or we planned, oh God, you promised me a rose garden, all I got is a bunch of thorns, right? That's the thing. We have to continue to look to God and trust in him, just like Job did, just like Shaul did, because there is salvation and redemption still in him. We must continue no matter how bad things get, to honor God. I was just at a conference, I mentioned last week, I was at a conference out of state, a leaders conference, and one of the speakers got up, and he's a messianic rabbi from another congregation, and he's always a very encouraging guy. And he got up and he said, listen, there's problems in this world. There's issues we go through. There's persecution. But what do we do when we go through these valleys? We just keep pressing on. We kept pressing on. We don't give up. And he said, you keep doing it enough, and eventually you get to the end of the valley. And you come out, and there's the clearing, and there's the sun shining, and there's God again delivering you, bringing you through it. We have to be with God. We have to hold on to God sometimes, clutch him close, but we have to keep exalting, trusting, and honoring God as we go through these things, because we will go through these things. It's improper theology to think that everything's just going to be rainbows out there and puppies and love, you know? It's not. It's sometimes bad things happen to good people. Look at Job, look at Shaul, and even look at our lives. But we should still cling to God and honor him. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. You know, we read these verses in our liturgy each week, and we need to cling to these kind of verses. Deuteronomy 6, 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. That means in every season, not just when things are going great, but when maybe there's problems, we still love the Lord. We have to acknowledge him, look to him, trust in him, believe in him, and love him with all that we have, no matter what is going on. Now turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. Over and over, God tells his people how to act. He tells us how to behave in every circumstance, in every season. Deuteronomy 10, 12 says, and now Israel, he's speaking to the nation of Israel here, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Shaul was doing that. The Apostle Paul was doing that, even in the midst of the things that he was going through. Israel was to be, and still is, and we read these in the Deuteronomy passages, a covenant people for God. You know, I've had a lot of talks with a lot of different pastors this week, and we're talking about, you know, what's the relationship between Israel and, you know, even today, the Jewish people and God, and the body of Messiah and God. And, you know, Israel was and is still a covenant people, a chosen people of God. And the purposes for Israel and the Jewish people stand even today, even after the advent of Yeshua. We have to understand that. And God was telling the people of Israel how to behave, how to act. And if we understand this, we know that Israel was to be a model for the nations. And the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, with God as its center, was to be a model for all of us, Jew and Gentile, as we are part of the body of Messiah today, serving the Lord, to put God first, to honor God first. And we read this in the New Covenant scriptures as well. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, the book of 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, honor Messiah the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. What a wonderful verse there, that it should be done when things are going well and when things are not going well. We should be ready in season and out of season, so to speak, to make a defense about what we believe, who we're trusting in, and who we're honoring. Point number one in our message is honor Yeshua with your life, your whole life, all every part of your life, every season of your life. Shaul gave Yeshua honor and a place of prominence in his speech, in his action, in his whole life, no matter what he was going through. Now let's go back to Philippians and our text for today. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. We continue. For to me, Shaul talking here, for to me to live is Messiah and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Messiah, for that is far better. Now, when we read these verses, we have to not take it out of context and think, well, Shaul just had some type of death wish, or he just wanted to die and all this stuff. We have to see what he was saying here. These are powerful verses that are repeated a lot, right? For to me, for to me to live is Messiah and to die is gain. You can hear the directness of Shaul's personality. He was a type A personality, and he didn't mince words. He knew his priorities, and he knew that he was sold out for Yeshua. So if he lived, and he continued to live for a time, of course, after this, after writing this letter to the Philippians, if he lived or continued to go on living physically, he was full of joy. He had joy because he was bearing fruit for God. He was living for God. He was a testimony, a living testimony for God. If he died, he would be with the Lord. So that's good too. So listen to what he says. He says this throughout his letters, actually. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. 2 Corinthians 5, 6. Now, he's writing to another congregation here, the Philippian congregation. Listen to what he says to them. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, that means alive, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we're at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. Listen, as believers, when we're alive here in this body, you and I breathing today, we are with the Lord, but we're not with the Lord. You know what I'm saying? We're still in the world. We have the Lord inside of us, but we're not in the presence of God. We're going to be in the presence of God when we die, when we physically die, when our bodies, you know, give out and our souls go on to be with the Lord. And there's a lot of scriptures that talk about it, you know, life after death and what happens. And as I mentioned in one of our membership classes, I believe in a split second, time stops for us and we're with the Lord. You know, when Yeshua was on the cross and he with the two criminals, remember that? And he says to the one, today, you'll be with me in paradise, okay? That means time stops, boom, they're in the presence of the Lord. And thousands of years later, we're just hanging out here with time going on. But time stops when we die. So we're with the Lord in this world, but we're still struggling because there's still principalities and powers. We're still not fully with the Lord. But when we die, we go to be in the presence of the Lord. But at whatever point we are at, alive or not alive anymore, we should aim to please the Lord. We should aim to have joy in our lives. And this means even if we don't physically die and be with Yeshua right now, there has to be some type of a death, right? And it's a spiritual type of a death. It's a death to ourselves. Remember what we started out by talking about, this whole individualistic culture. We need to die to that individualistic culture. And we need to be raised up with a culture where we're praising and honoring and living for God. Go to Galatians, the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20. I love to quote this verse, and I think it's a powerful, powerful verse. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Messiah. It is no longer I who live, but Messiah who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, meaning being alive, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So there's a different way of living while we're here physically in the body. Shaul knew that. In fact, he wrote Galatians, so he's again talking about this. This is prevalent in his letters. He's talking about the joy that we can even have in this life while we're living, but we need to crucify the old nature. We need to die to the old and be raised with the new. Many scriptures about that, but we don't have time to go into it. If Messiah is living in you, he should be front and center in your life, right? He should be a priority as he was for Shaul. This means dying to our goals. This means dying to our dreams. And I'm not saying you can't have goals and dreams in the Lord. What I'm saying is our dreams, our goals. I want this. I want that. It can't be about that anymore as believers in Messiah. It doesn't mean also we need to go become monks somewhere and, you know, take a vow of poverty. Maybe some people are called to that, but not all are called to that kind of a life. Whatever we do in our lives, make sure we're reflecting Yeshua, that he's exalted in our life as we live, while we live, and that people see him through us. Point number two is put Messiah first above all. Shaul did it. He was our example, and we need to do it. Now back to the Philippians passage one more time today. Philippians 1:24. But to maintain in the flesh, maintain to stay alive, is more necessary on your account. Shaul talking to the Philippians. Verse 25, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glorify in Messiah Yeshua because of my coming to you again. Because of my coming to you again. So he decides, you know, you see him, the wheels turning, he's thinking out loud to us, right? Thinking out loud to the Philippians. Well, I'd rather die and go be with the Lord, but if I'm here, I'm counting it as joy because I could be with you, I could talk to you, I could connect with you, I can encourage you and be an example to you is what he's saying. So he says, Shaul says he still has work to do in this life. And each of us still has work to do in this life. Whatever ministry you're given, whatever things that you're doing in your life, whether it's not even quote-unquote ministry, it could be your secular job, it could be just hanging out with neighbors, it can be connecting with family. Whatever we do, we have a ministry, and that ministry is to prioritize and honor the Lord and be an example to others, okay? He has work to do, he says, Shaul, before he dies physically. And that work is to continue to guide, to encourage, to disciple the Philippians and the other congregations he was serving. He says that he wants to have them cause to glory in Yeshua by his work with them and for them. Now, he had to correct congregations at times, right? We don't like when we get corrected. Nobody likes correction. But in Shaul's writings, I love it because he's a great example. At times, he is so loving and encouraging to people, right? When he needs to be. And at times, he's a bit chastising and correcting people. I think about Yeshua when I think about this. If you look at the personality of Yeshua as he walked the earth in his earthly ministry, how was he with people? Well, there's two ways. When he was coming upon people that were lost, that were struggling, that were maybe, yes, in sin, but they didn't know how to connect with God, he was nothing but loving. You know, he was nothing but encouraging. He said, and I can't quote it, I don't have the quote, but he said they're like lost sheep without a shepherd. Remember that scripture? So he had nothing but love for them. But on the other hand, he had some corrective words for people that had a haughty spirit and pride, like some of the leaders, like some of the Pharisees and Sadducees. He had no patience for them. Okay? So on the one hand, Shaul is much like Yeshua, where he was loving and gracious and tolerant and full of grace on one hand, but on the other hand, he was corrective when correction is needed. We have to have both of those. We have to receive both of those in our life, and it's hard. I love getting all the lovey, oh, you're doing a great job. I love it when people say, Rabbi, you're doing a great job. Okay? I love it. Please say it a lot. No. I don't like it so much when I'm corrected, and a lot of times I'm corrected by the Lord. You know, a lot of times I'm corrected by those that I, you know, consider people that I'm accountable to. And I'm accountable to people just as you are. But we have to be willing to take both. We can love the lovies, you know, but also understand that there's time for correction. And in everything we do, being a good example. Let's look to the book of Titus, another Shaul letter. Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Now here Paul is instructing Titus, and he says this, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. You know, you're going to have opponents in life, because we're reading about this in Philippians. Shaul had opponents. No matter how much you love everybody and do everything right, you're going to have some people that are going to oppose you. A lot of non-believers, but maybe even some believers, as Shaul had, as he was talking about, we read it last week. Now, these words of Paul to Titus, he could say them. Why? Because he was doing the same thing. He was a model of good works. He was teaching integrity and dignity in all that he did. He was not hypocritical. He was trying in all of his sound speech and his actions to be a good example for Yeshua, to reflect Yeshua to other people. John chapter 13, 35, let's go there. How are we being an example to others? By this, John 13:35, all peoples will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Love doesn't always mean what we would call sloppy agape. Love isn't always, oh, I love you. Oh, you're doing something bad. Oh, I'm not going to say anything because I'm going to love you. Love sometimes is corrective love. That's how love is. So, unfortunately, in the body today, we're too busy fighting each other in many ways and not loving each other or correcting each other in the right ways or encouraging each other, which we need to be doing. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, last scripture here. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Okay? This is the kind of example we need to live and we need to lead from. The example of Yeshua, the example of even Job, the example of Shaul, and the example that we see with people that we can look up to in the body of Messiah today. You may have, you know, heroes in the faith, so to speak. You may have people from your past or maybe even your present that you can go to and you can look at as an example. And my prayer is that all of us here would be those examples to others. That we would not only get discipled, right, but that we would go and disciple others unto the Lord in with brotherly affection, loving one another the right way. So point number three in our message is just as Shaul did, we need to be an example of Yeshua to others. Are we living a life as an example of Yeshua to others? Are we living out Yeshua's heart in our lives, in our words, and our actions? So there's a lot going on in these few verses, in this passage of Philippians. Shaul is giving us some really good instruction here. It's practical living. It's not just, oh, God is, you know, this and that and the other. It's, are we honoring Yeshua in our lives, in everything that we do, even as we go through valleys, even as we have problems, even as those are people are talking maybe about us, breathing out lies, I don't know, whatever's going on. Are we honoring Yeshua? Are we putting him first? And are we an example of Yeshua to others? Let's pray to him. Lord God of Israel, we pray to you. We come to you. You are the one true God. And we look to you as a source of all understanding, wisdom, and as an example to us, Lord. We know that even on our best days, we mess up, we fall, we falter. But Lord, I'm thankful for your mercy and grace. And I'm thankful, Lord God, for writings like this that can encourage us, that can strengthen us, that can help us and pick us up when we don't know what to do and we just fall down. But Lord, I'm thankful for men of the faith like Rav Shaul, Titus, Timothy, all of these people that went before us and showed us the way to walk, you know? Lord, I'm thankful that you've written these words of instruction so that we could apply them to our lives, so we can grow in our faith, and so that we could properly reflect you, properly be the example to others, so that when others look at us in the world, they can say, what's different about them? Lord, help us to be able to be that for people. And even without speaking, may we be examples. In our speech, sure, but in our definitely in our actions and even in our thought life. So Lord, I just pray for each and every person here watching on the live stream that we would be encouraged today in you, that we would draw closer to you, Lord, and that we would strive to be a good example to others and properly reflect you, honor you, and put you first in our lives. I thank you, God, and I praise you for your word and for your encouragement and for your spirit and all that you give us. In Yeshua's name, amen.